Let's what read Acts and chapter 2. We want to continue looking at utterance in the resurrection. Now, when you say utterance in the resurrection, it's simply as saying utterance in the name of Jesus. It's one and the same thing. All right, so utterance in the resurrection. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them glowing like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we have said in the series that one of the most important things we pay attention to in the book of Acts with respect to how the early church began to walk in the reality of the indwelling of the Spirit was for the purpose of ministry. For the purpose of ministry. The Spirit in us is giving us for the purpose of ministry. So besides the issue of identification as sons, what we saw in Acts chapter 2 wasn't basically for the purpose of identification. It was basically for the purpose of what? Ministry. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, that is, they began to speak with other tongue as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So look at Acts 1:8. It says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, that you shall receive power. Now notice something important and crucial about what Jesus says. You shall take up power. And when you take up power, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. So notice the Holy Ghost is given in the resurrection of Jesus, but the believers were instructed. So you can say, what was the purpose of the 40-day teaching? Because again, the principle of the epistles of the New Testament is that you and I are joint heirs with Christ. And that's crucial. So one of the things that happens to a sound believer as begins to study the epistles is to realize that, I've said that before in this series, without you, God won't. Without God, you can't. Without us, God won't. Without God, we can't. In other words, there's a divine partnership as joint heirs with Christ Jesus that facilitates ministry. So when Jesus said, but you shall receive, you will take up power, that means the responsibility is on the believer to take of what has been given. So can it be given and the believer does not take? Yes. Why was Jesus teaching for 40 days? So that the believer can learn how to take. You will take off power. You will take from power. In other words, the Holy Ghost that indwells you as a son of God is the same Holy Ghost that empowers you to do the works of Jesus and to do the work of ministry. And so Jesus was teaching for 40 days for one singular purpose, to teach them how to take off and how to take from. Now remember, look at 1 Corinthians 2. Spend some time in 1 Corinthians 2 in the series, but then let's just go on. 1 Corinthians 2. And I'm going to read from verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Remember, when you're using King James, you have to be careful, okay? Does the Spirit of God search, or does the Spirit of God know? Does the Spirit search, or does the Spirit know? So to search will not be to search the way you know it. The word to search actually means to explain, to reveal, or to unveil. Okay, so the Spirit of God unveils the deep things of God. That's what he does. So notice, so the searching part is you and I, which will receive. So when we go on the search, who reveals those things to us? Who reveals those things to us? The Spirit. So notice again, it says, for what man knows the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So that next verse where it tells you that the things of God, the Spirit of God knows. The Spirit of God is a custodian of the things of God. So the Spirit of God is given to the believer so that the believer might know the things of God. So you are given the Spirit of God. In the Spirit of God are the things of God. In that same Spirit is the teaching of the things of God. Let me say it again. In the Spirit of God are the things of God. In that same Spirit is the teaching or the explanation of those things which you are given. So that you are given those things, that doesn't mean you understand those things. But in the Spirit is not just the things of God, is the giving or the teaching of the things of God. Hallelujah. Remember, eye has not seen and not have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared. So according to prophecy, according to the promises from the mouth of the prophets, there were things that were spoken ahead of time. They were spoken to be fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. So that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but shall have what? Everlasting life. That's just language. John chapter 3 verse 16. So the one who has everlasting life is the one who has the Spirit. For the Spirit and everlasting life are one and the same. You know, it's interesting. Some of us think, I have everlasting life, I don't even have the Spirit. They are one and the same. Everlasting life and the Spirit, they are the same. Are not different. If you have the Spirit, you have everlasting life. If you have everlasting life, you have the Spirit. They are one and the same. So, why? Look at John chapter 7 again. And we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 2. I need to repeat some things so that the background is sound. John chapter 7, verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, which is out of that resurrection, will flow what? Rivers of life-giving water. But this speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet, because that Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. Alright? So look at verse 37. 37. He said, in the last day, the great day of Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and what? Drink. So we know Jesus as the last of the Old Testament prophets, and the one who initiated the new one began to teach. What was he teaching? The summary of what the Old Testament prophets said. What did they say? As the scripture has said, out of his belly. So when I'm reading Isaiah, I'm reading Jeremiah, I'm reading Ezekiel, I must conclude that all of them said one thing. What is common to what they said? Out of his belly. What is Jesus referring to as belly? From his resurrection will flow what? Rivers of what? Life-giving water. What does that represent? The Spirit which those who believe will receive. Or the status of believing is the indwelling of the Spirit. That's the status of believing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Right. So, because he says, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, or those who believe. Those who believe, they are those who love. Those who believe, they are those who love. Now, go back to that 1 Corinthians 2 now. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. We were looking at things that the eyes have not seen nor ear heard, and have entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So, verse 12 now says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, or the spirit that represents all that God has prepared. So, let me ask again, by the spirit are you a son? By the spirit are you saved? By the spirit do you have everlasting life? Alright, so notice what he says, that now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are what? Freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, doing what? Comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. Now when he says spiritual things with spiritual, what are the spiritual things? He is talking about what he said in the first verse. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech, nor wisdom, declaring unto you what? The testimony of God. What's testimony of God? What the prophet said. Is that the full testimony? No. The testimony of God includes two components. All that the prophet said, which is all that Jesus fulfilled. Those are the two components of the testimony of God. All that the prophet said, which was all that Jesus what? Fulfilled. Say amen. So, what are the spiritual things with spiritual? That which was promised, which has now been fulfilled. You compare spiritual things with what? Spiritual. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are we together tonight? Okay. Because it's important that you and I understand, when we reach out in utterance, listen, no matter how much you express the things of the Spirit, if you don't have the basic understanding, you will not have the boldness for continuity. Continuity is crucial. It's the reason why, you know, for instance, how many of us asked that question, I think a week back or two, that you, when you got saved, you got filled with the Spirit, and you spoke for a while, and you stopped. How many experienced that? You spoke and you stopped. So the question is, why did you stop? You didn't have the knowledge. And your mind convinced you this is rubbish. Your mind convinced you this is not making sense. Your mind convinced you, are you sure that you're even talking to God like this? Because you didn't have the basic understanding of God's word with respect to what you were doing. What were you doing? A spiritually legitimate exercise. What was required? Understanding was meant to be the bedrock of your activity. So what you lacked was understanding. You didn't lack spiritual resource. Now you have received not the spirit of this world. What was Jesus teaching them for 40 days? He was teaching them, now that they have the spirit, what it means to have the spirit and how you engage the things of the spirit. In other words, being a son makes you an initiator. Let me say it again. Being a son makes you what? An initiator. So they began. That's important. They began. What does it mean to wait on God now? It means to begin. So again, to wait on God is not to wait for God. To wait on God means to begin. To begin means you already know there's a supply. So because you know there's a supply, you're waiting on God by doing something with what God has given. You are not hoping God will do because you are in the reality of what God has done. You have the spirit living in you now. Say amen. Hallelujah. It's important. So, you see, they began. What did they begin? What Jesus instructed them to do with respect to the kingdom. How does this kingdom work? Now you have the spirit. Now the spirit indwells you. Now you are sons. Now you are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And as joint heirs, you can initiate, you can start, or you can begin. What instruction were they following? Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. So you, now, as sons of God, will take of the power which is resident in you as a son. You will now put it on display, or the Holy Ghost will come on you. Hallelujah. They mean the same thing. You shall receive power. Don't let the sentence construction fool you. Again, the language in the book of Acts, if you don't get past the language and allow the epistles to instruct you concerning what it means, you will always be in a place where you're waiting for God to start things you are meant to start. And if God is the one starting things in that sense of starting, then that means the testimony of the epistles are not true. That's what it means. So if we find the expression of the spirit in the early church, the first expression is that they began. It means to begin is the ordinance for the church. We are meant to begin. We're meant to start. You are not meant to wait for God to do something. God has done something in giving you spirit. And he gave you spirit, that spirit should be in you forever. So now that spirit is in you forever, to tarry in Jerusalem for them was to settle down with what they were taught until they realized that the spirit was in them. To tarry was not to make God do anything. To tarry was for them to settle in their consciousness, I have spirit, I can do spirit, and to remember what they were taught and to act on it. Glory to God. Have you noticed that if you are spending time to pray and fast, listening to God's word is crucial? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that meditating is also crucial? That really the part of you that needs God's word the most is your mind. Because if you say you are fasting, fasting doesn't make God talk. Because some people still think that God sees fasting. And when he now sees fasting, I say, this suffering is much. This suffering is much. I must speak now. I need to speak to Bola because this suffering, the way she is even going about it, this is not the, he hasn't even eaten. I thought by second he would have broken it. He hasn't broken it. On that basis, let me show mercy. You know, what you did when you fasted, you usually have this and say, less is more. So there's less noise. There's less distraction. There are less things around you to take your attention. So there's more accuracy in your hearing. That's what fasting is doing. Fasting is handing you to the more, which you have always had, which you didn't have access to because of distractions you have around you. So fasting doesn't make God talk. Fasting makes you hear God more. Glory to God. Even fasting is, you can ginger God. In this church, every other month, we've just been 21 days. Everybody can hear God. No. Fasting doesn't make God speak more. Fasting enables you, your senses, to be finally attuned to the realm that God has called you into. Say amen. Hallelujah. That's better. So they were filled, that is, they began. They began to speak, that is, they were filled. That's important. That part that they were able to initiate. Now, what was the basis of their initiation? The apostolic doctrine or teaching, what they were taught. They were taught something. Jesus told them, these signs shall follow them that believe. One of them, in my name, they shall speak with what? New tongues. Now, let me ask a question. What is available in the name of Jesus? Look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. Luke 24. Look at one of the things he told them about ministry. Luke 24, 47. Verse 46. Let's have from 46. See what it says. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behold Christ to suffer and to rise on the dead the third day. And that what? Repentance, which is what? Remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning where? At Jerusalem. And you are what? witnesses. You are eyewitnesses of these things. They were witnesses. So what is the name of Jesus? Repentance, which is remission of what? Sins. That's the name. So if Jesus now said to them in Mark 16, he says, in my name, or within the scope of repentance, remission of sins, you shall have a new language. What will language testify to? That Jesus is risen, and that in his resurrection you have forgiveness of sins. You know, sometimes if you put the scriptures together this way and you start speaking in tongues, you won't get tired again. Let me say it again. What does that tongue? Because he said, in my name. What is his name? Repentance, which is remission of sins. Is available in his name. That's salvation, isn't it? So it now says, in my name you speak with new tongues, or within the scope of forgiveness of sins, you shall speak. Or the reason why you're speaking is a proof that your sins are forgiven. Now, can you see why it's difficult to speak in tongues and you have guilt in your heart towards God? So who has the guilt? You or God? Why do you have the guilt? Because your mind is not renewed to what it means to speak in tongues. Because speaking in tongues already testifies to that they are forgiven. Because you can now have that language except you are forgiven. So tongues is the language of the forgiving man and forgiving woman. The redeemed. That's the language. That's your language. It's a personal conversation with God that enables that only sons can speak this way. And the proof that they are sons, listen carefully, is not in what they do. It's in who they are. So if your status as a believer is the indwelling of the Spirit, then that same indwelling that you are yielding to the reality of your redemption. That's what you're yielding to. So every time you take of power, or you lay hold of tongues, or you utter that supernatural utterance, you are saying many things. Particularly with respect to your fellowship with the Father, you are saying you are forgiven, you are saying you are healed, you are saying you are the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. That's tongues. As tongues. But again, why don't you always read the benefits? Because we don't speak based on our own understanding of the reality. So, for instance, Acts chapter 2 does not explain why they were speaking. It only gives us a background of why they were able to speak. It tells us they were taught for 40 days. It tells us that Jesus told them they would take hold of power, so they began. So their beginning means they consciously took hold of power. Now, you need to understand how much of a move that was. For the Jew, who was taught on how the Spirit of God fell, which is why Luke is using the language in the book of Acts, how the Spirit of God used to fall on the prophets. That means the prophets will wait, then something will happen to them. And when something happens to them, only men of God speak as they were moved, or they were carried along by the Spirit of God. So they also wanted to experience it that way, but because they are new creations, the Holy Ghost doesn't fall on you, the Holy Ghost lives in you. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is not a visitor to you. He's a permanent resident with you. Glory to God. And you see the difference now. So when you do tongues, you are doing it now as a function of that which is part of your inheritance as a son of God. That's what you're doing. It's a language that is expressing your inheritance, the riches of your inheritance, the wealth that belongs to you in Christ Jesus. That's what it means. I'm redeemed. I'm justified. Am highly favored. My sins are forgiven. I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I'm God's workmanship. This is God's work speaking. Oh, your consciousness will be different. I'm God's work in the heart. Hallelujah. I'm God's work to do God's work in the earth. Hallelujah. Now, again, what did Jesus say? You shall be witnesses unto me. Or you shall be witnesses of me, of my work. Jesus, what is your work? Repentance, which is what? Forgiveness of sins. How will they hear? You shall be witnesses of these things. So before you preach, what will happen? You will speak the language representing the fact that you are witnesses of these realities, because you are first partaker of that reality. You are all saved. As proof of yourself, you speak with tongues. What will happen when you do tongues? You will build up in the reality of your salvation and redemption. Then you will now be effective ministers of the same. So on the day of Pentecost, they took power. What was power that they took? They took the Holy Ghost and they put him on display. Why were they displaying? They are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. You know when people come to ask you all these things that you say, do you know what you're even doing? Do you know what you're even saying? You should be able to hold a seminar. Sit down. Because people do, you know, there are many things we do that we don't understand. Say, do you understand what you are doing? No, there are too many things. I don't know how H and O mix together to make H2O. I know without it, I cannot live. And if I open my breath for long enough, I'll find myself on the other side. Oxygen, I've not seen it before, but I need it every day. So who told you is everything that works for you that you have to understand? That's not true. It's chemistry that told me that there's, it's H2O that I'm drinking. And they combine, stick it around, and then when I take it, this is what happened. The thing is colorless, has no taste. Yet, there's no life without it. No wonder Jesus uses that rivers of life-giving water. No wonder Jesus uses that. This is life. Take it away from a man. Man can do without food for a number of days. He can't do without water for that same number of days. He cannot. He cannot. But he can do without food. Because I think over 50% of a man's body is water. If you take water away, you have taken everything away. He says, I will give you life-giving water. Hallelujah. Give you life-giving water. So again, if they could not use this gift, if they could not give themselves to this supernatural utterance, if they could not begin until Jesus rose, then in Jesus rising, there is more behind that utterance that we have given it credit for. There's much more. If they couldn't do this particular one, and they could do every other one, but they couldn't do this particular one, which is tongues and interpretation, and that means there must be something about that tongues and interpretation that distinctively marks this particular testament and that separates sons from servants. Who are servants? Holy men of God speak as they were moved. Who are sons? They begin. Let me say it again. Who are servants? Holy men of God speak as they were moved. Who are sons? They begin. How did they begin? It shall come to pass in that days, I will pour out of my spirit. Where is your spirit, Lord? In my sons and my daughters. What will you do? I will pour out of my spirit. Where is your spirit? In my sons and my daughters. Who will pour? I will pour. What do you mean? They shall prophesy. Are they the ones prophesying? Yes. Who is acting? Me. Who is prophesying? Sons and daughters. Who is acting? Me. That means the saint is co-laboring with God when he's yielding to utterance. Who is prophesying? My sons and daughters. Who is pouring? God says, I'm the one pouring. Hallelujah. You won't find that phrase, that language used with servants. Only men of God speak as they were moved. In the New Testament, saints begin. Why? They take hold of power. And they use it for the purpose of the gospel. They take up in my name. Now that I've risen. Now that I've accomplished. Now that I've given you that indwelling of spirit. Now you take off. That means you can take and you can refuse to take. And it's strictly up to you. Hallelujah. I will pour out of. Where is the spirit? In us. He will pour out of. So the spirit, which is the source of power, is in every believer. The spirit will not take. How will it take? It will prophesy. And it's strictly by will. Glory to God. Thank you for that. There was a scripture that is open to. Which one is that? Romans 8:15. Thank you. See what it says. Romans 8:15. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received what? The spirit of adoption. The spirit that places you as a son. The spirit of adoption is what? The spirit that places you as what? As son. The spirit by which you are placed as a son. That's spirit of adoption. It says, the spirit of adoption, whereby we call what? Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. And if what? Children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And what? Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that suffer with him, that we what? Glorified together. Hallelujah. So, the spirit of adoption, the spirit that has placed us as sons. That's important. So, on the day of Pentecost, what did Peter do? He co-labored with God. What was the result of that speaking in verse 4? It was to bring many souls to salvation. Glory to God. What did Jesus tell them? You shall be witnesses of me. So you can say this way, in your private life, in your personal fellowship, what are you witnessing to when you speak with tongues? You are witnessing to your sonship. Because until Jesus rose, utterance was not given in this dimension. And since he rose, utterance has been in that dimension. It is given strictly to sons. So as a son, therefore, when you speak, what you are affirming is your sonship or your joint heirship in Christ Jesus. Now, pay attention now. If that is what you are testifying to, listen carefully, the content of tongues will never violate the sacrifice of Jesus. Let me say it again. The content of tongues will never violate. That's why, have you been praying before in tongues, speaking to the Father in tongues, and you receive interpretation and you spoke it out? How many of you have done that? You spoke it out to yourself. Okay, so have you heard anything accusatory before? If you did, it's your mind. If you heard anything accusatory, it's because your mind is not renewed. It's not because God will ever accuse you, it's because your mind is not renewed in that area. So if you did hear anything, it's because your mind is not renewed. It's not because God will never. You see, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Sons. Who are sons? Those who are redeemed, those who are forgiven, those who are justified. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace. Say, we have peace with God. Say, we have peace with God. So, will God ever appear to you? You know, that's one of the ways to know the voice of God. God will never appear to a son or a daughter and accuse you. He will never. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So the content of tongues will never carry accusation or condemnation. It will never. I'm going somewhere tonight. That's why you wonder when we say minister one to another. And some people walk up to you and start telling you, God said you should be careful. God said all the bad things you have done, judgment is coming. God said, that's not the spirit of God, that's the spirit of suspicion. That spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are what? And someone say, Pastor, are you saying God cannot correct? Now, interestingly enough, most of the time when correction comes that way, it comes more through ministry gifts. More often than through ministry gifts. Who have the maturity to bring the correction? Because it's one thing to perceive correction, it's another thing to administer it properly. In other words, if I perceive that there is correction to be given to a particular individual in local assembly, administering the correction requires some level of maturity from somebody who is already established in New Testament realities. In other words, when correction is given, the Bible says that the Father chastises us out of love so that it can yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 12. In other words, when I finish talking to you by the Spirit of God with respect correction, you will not be down, you'll be up. You'll be encouraged. You will know it is out of love. You will know. But a believer who is yet to be established, a believer who is still sin conscious, when he senses it, it comes hard on you. It's not God speaking, it is he painting the picture based on his awareness. Hallelujah. Let me say it this way. The way you do tongues, let me say it to you. The way you do tongues is not God, it is you. That's the way you do tongues. You know, some of those things are difficult for somebody. No. I cannot control it. The way God was, no, it is you. That's how you do tongues. How come I don't do tongues the way you do tongues? It's because the way you do tongues is you. So when it comes to interpretation also, the words you use, your vocabulary is you. And it is perfectly legitimate. Listen, the language of Paul is different from the language of Peter in the scriptures. Different from the language of John in the scriptures. Different from Jude's language. Have you noticed that? I've shared with us before. Go through the book of John. You hear life, 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 life. Go through Paul's writing. You hear spirit, spirit, spirit. Have you noticed that? Check Peter's writings. You either see, you really see those two words. Are they saying the same thing? Yes. So when Paul is writing to you, I say that as many as the labor as well, they are sons of God. When Peter is writing, he said, being born again, not of what corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, of the word of God that liveth what and abided forever. When you hear John speak, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is what? The victory that overcomes the world, even what? Our. They are saying the same thing, using different word language. Guess what? You and I are exactly like that. We also have our figures of speech. We have our mannerisms. We have certain words that we seem to favor when we want to express things of the Spirit. The time comes when you are giving to prophesy in local assembly, we know the words you are likely to start with. You know, Brother Kola is about to minister. This is Brother Kola. This is Brother Kola's time. They already know. Someone say, how why? Because there's a peculiarity about him, which is perfectly fine. What is the emphasis of that utterance? It must not convey anything other than what Jesus accomplished in his death, burial, and what? Resurrection. It wasn't. So I just give you a summary of what the substance of prophecy should be 1 Corinthians 12. Let's see if we can do some fast work. Verse 1. Now concerning what? Spiritual gifts, but then I will not have you what? Ignorant. So we said, now remember that when it comes to the things of the Spirit, this is not the first line of explanation to the church at Corinth. So when it says concerning those things, you are not ignorant, they were not unfamiliar with it. So the word ignorant there actually means two sets of people. Those who were not familiar with the operations and those who outrightly ignored the guidelines that were required to operate in those things. So there were people who were willfully ignorant of what, how it's meant to be used. Were they expressing it? Yes. All the church are coming, they were. They were. That there was even abuse. So Paul says, I will not have you ignorant. You know you were Gentiles carried away unto this done by us, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to what? Understand that no man speaking by a spirit of God ever calls Jesus what? Accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by what? The Holy Ghost. So, now again, remember we're teaching contextually. What does it mean to say Jesus is Lord? To prophesy. No man will speak by the influence of the Spirit, and they will not summarily testify to the Lordship of Jesus. Because if they are speaking by that Spirit always testifies to what? The Lordship of Jesus. Why? The testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of what? Prophecy. As Revelation chapter 19, verse 10b. Revelation 19, verse 10b. The testimony of Jesus is what? The Spirit of prophecy. Glory to God. So, no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So, if a man is saying Jesus is Lord, it means in prophecy, he will affirm the Lordship of Jesus in prophecy. Good. Are we there? Now, 1 Corinthians 14 now. Verse 1. Thank you for that. Yes, so, follow after charity and desire spirituals, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth, albeit in the spirit, he speaks what? Mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men, edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies what? Edifies the church. Verse 5. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive what? Edify. So notice the emphasis. The emphasis is from verse 1. Verse 1 says that follow after love. Or let love lead the way, then follow the instructions and the activity that are inspired by love. So it says, when you let love lead the way, that love should drive you to desire things of the Spirit. And when it's driving you to desire things of the Spirit, the summary of what you are going to desire is this: you will desire to prophesy or to speak in a language that will edify men. So if you allow love to lead, now you have the things of the Spirit. You are given the supernatural utterance. You know how to start out with tongues. But because you are allowing love to lead, what will love do? Love will favor prophecy, or love will do the greater, and the greater will be to interpret whatever it is that you said in tongues, so that people can receive what? Edifying. It is not that to speak in tongues is wrong, because when you're speaking in tongues, no man understands. But you and God are talking mysteries, which is beautiful in fellowship. But when you are in the congregation of the saints, remember, if you do tongues alone, you are edifying yourself. But because you are among the saints, when you prophesy, you are edifying the church. So I want all of you to be given to tongues, but I want you to do the greater, which is edify the church. So you are to go on from edifying yourself and speaking to God to edifying the saints. Since tongues will be a tool to serve the saints, if I can add interpretation to it. Hallelujah. I spoke even fast. But you got, how many of you got the gifts of what I said? So, since tongues is a tool for ministry, it can be a tool for fellowship. But the fruit of fellowship will be that through you, God wants to minister or bless the saints. So, it is good that you all speak with tongues. I would that you all speak with tongues. But rather that you prophesy, it simply means that you should do it with prophesying in mind. Now, what situation is talking about when you are among the saints? He's not talking about your private fellowship with God. He's not talking about when you are at home. No. This is with respect to the gathering of the saints. What was instructed in 1 Corinthians 12? Now concerning things of the Spirit, when it comes to sharing things among yourselves, I don't want you to be ignorant. So the instruction is with respect to when the saints are gathered and you want to use the utterance called tongues to minister a supply of the Spirit, your focus should be love. Love should drive your activity. So you already have the will, you have the desire. Now let love shape both will and desire. So even when you say you are not willing, let love affect your will with only one thing in mind. If I have a desire, is to bless the saints. So if a man whose will is shaped by love, his desire is affected by love, he will never think of using it as a way of being puffed up. Paul uses that word in 1 Corinthians. It will get to you, hopefully, not tonight. He's saying that I can use things of the Spirit as a means of bragging or things of showing up. I can use it as a means of edifying. So he says, if I allow love to live and I'm following love, so every activity or step I'm going to take is initiated and inspired by love, then when I come to you, though all of us will speak with tongues, I will do the greater service when I allow interpretation to follow my tongue so that the people that are present can receive edifying. Hallelujah. Now, what I just said there simply means this. At no time, except you are not following the teaching of God's word, should you say, I have tongues, but I don't have interpretation. Someone says, can that happen? Yes. Should you stay in that state? No. Can you be there? Yes. Should you stay there? No. Someone says, why? Because he just told you, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather. What is rather? The greater. What is greater? The church will receive edifying. Because if you stay with tongues alone, are you doing something good? Yes. Who are you doing to? To yourself. What is love? A refusal to be selfish. So, who are you doing good to when you do tongues alone? Yourself. Are you doing good to us? No. You are doing good to yourself because he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. But he's saying something very interesting. He's now saying, edifying yourself is good. But if you are sufficiently edified, you should move on to the greater. What is the greater? You should edify us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you say, I don't have interpretation, it's not that you don't have. It's because you didn't edify yourself to the point of having one. That's what happened. There's not like, I don't have interpretation. No. If you calm down. But like when the message is about you. Now, am I saying people cannot help you? No, people can. But what happens when there is nobody around to help? But when it comes to the gathering of the saints, the emphasis, the gathering of the saints concerning things of the Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant about what the focal point is. What is the hymn of our ministry in the gathering of the saints? It is edification. What is edification? You are following after love. Hallelujah. Brahmatis, come and give us a song. You have two options. I'm not in the mood. I had a long day at the office. The long day at the office, the mood have nothing to do with the fact that you are a son of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Bandali, stand up, give us a psalm. And you are thinking, I've not even eaten since morning. Which part of my belly is this thing coming from? The emptiness or the fullness? For only the fullness is emptiness. But you know, the tongue is not coming from your physical belly. It's coming from that part of you that is the real you, the authentic you. The part that can rejoice even when there's no food. That's where it's coming from. What are you doing? I can be selfish. What's selfishness? Nobody should tell me anything. The younger guys are wearing me now. Nobody, I'm not flowing cocoa. I'm not flowing nothing. Yeah. Somebody's, I'm just waiting for them to finish the service. That's when you can go home. So I should come and flow. Which flow is that? You can do that or you can hook your tongue as a son of God to the Spirit that lives in you. Thereby allowing answers to come. Some years ago, as I stepped out of my house, I was going to Ibadan to attend a wedding for a church member. And I was an associate pastor in another church at that time. So I was going to officiate there in Ibadan. As I moved close to the car, and that's why praying in tongues is so crucial, because he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto who? Unto God. Well, that's a higher intelligence. For no man understanding, habit where? In the Spirit. He speaks at what? Mysteries. Now, so, you know, and some of us don't even realize that many times your conversation with God will play out as wisdom during the day. Your conversation in tongues with God will often play out as wisdom. Sudden thoughts that rise up, sudden decisions that rise up during the day, it will play out. And some of us don't have interpretation of the things you prayed out. You discuss with God. God is not a snob. He will talk back to you in the same language. and then you see some things just come up. You just notice that you were meant to go to so-and-so place. You change your mind about going. And when you change your mind about going, it was meant to be a meeting. And because you change your mind about going, you heard later the person say that I was not even able to make it. And that decision was because you spoke with God in the morning and his wisdom came up, made you make a decision that favored you not to go. And things like that just happened on a daily basis. So as I got downstairs and I approached the car, I found my mouth. I heard myself say, there shall no evil befall me, neither will any plague come near my dwelling place, for he has given his angels charge. So I stopped. I'm like, why am I saying that? Was as I approached the car. We traveled to Baron. We're coming back. If you ever travel with me, I move fast. I like fast cars. It's not spiritual, it's just me. Yes. Pastor Lou has let me say that I'm going to drive a BM, I'm going to drive a Jaguar. I like fast cars. Yes, I'll drive a BM, I'll drive a Jaguar in this lifetime. An Audi, I'm going to drive it. Someone says, why? Because I just like them. I like cars that are fast. So I was coming down. This time I wasn't too fast. 130 is not fast. What is fast? Starts from 160. I drove somebody one day and the person was, I didn't know he was pressing brake where he was. I was asking him a question. He was my he. We got to church. He was telling them that he didn't know he can mark brake like that on the passenger side. Even like this. And I wasn't happy because the vehicle that we took was not my vehicle. It was a church member's vehicle. And it was a vehicle that had this limitation where it cut off fuel at 180. So that's when the speed. No, this road is a four carriageway road. So it's not that there's any oncoming vehicle. So, you know, everything is. When it's like that, why can't you test the vehicle? It's not good. Why are you wasting time on the road when you can? It's only fair. So whenever I get to 240, whenever I get to 180, we'll just be cutting up. Very annoying something. And then the guy was pressing brake where he was. So today, this time around, I'm sure the ingest must have caused me to slow down. I 130. The rear tire burst. I come back. The car was full. My younger sister was there with four other church members. This car spun around 3 times in the middle of the road. Then reversed straight in the bush. As we're going towards the bush, turned around, faced a huge tree. So, funny enough, most of the people in the car with me, they were asleep. All I said was, Jesus. I opened my eyes. The tree that was before us was by the side. How that happened, I didn't know. We got there, not a scratch on anyone. And then, so people parked on both sides of the road. They rushed down to come and see how to rescue and to help. They were surprised that anybody, somebody said, well, someone, I wonder if I said, so are you a pastor? I said, yes. I said, no wonder. He said, because when you were moving, I thought I was watching an action film. I said, I saw the car like this. It was spinning like this. And I said, is this action film? So then it began to reverse by itself inside the bush and turn around again by itself. He said, you press big. I said, if I press big too hard, I will have issues. So I just pressed lightly and everything. Now, it was not a good situation in terms of, but you know, everybody was alive and well. I just put them in vehicles. And finally, I got the vehicle. And then I think during the week, I found a tow vehicle that got the car. Now, what happened was that when I stepped into the public transport, and I was going to the car, I was sitting at the back of the vehicle. I began to give God thanks for preservation of life. And I began to speak with tongues. And when I spoke in tongues, I heard these words. Don't worry about it. It will come out better than it was before the accident. I didn't spend a dime of my money on that car. In 2 weeks, it was out. All the force that was even there before the accident was taken was completely, I don't even get it. Now, what happened before I got to the car was the Spirit of God through me spoke the words that would be a protective shield. You know, it says when you pass through the fire, and you say, it's every time you will be escaped before fire comes. So you will pass through, but it will not kindle upon you. When you pass through the waters, it will not want overwhelmed. So there are deliverances that you will pass through. But the outcome that was meant to be negative will not be the outcome. I mean, even I'm talking about. No. So, tongues is bigger than we think. One time I was coming with elder, I think the wife and one or two church members went for a wedding in Badon. We're coming back. And we're gisting. I'm also like, Jesus around the word of God. We're just gisting the word. They were asking questions. I was asking them. As we got close to the middle toll gate, I just burst out in tongues. I just started speaking in tongues. You have to be spiritual. You have to be used to that kind of communication. So that when the urge comes, You will not quench it with tea or chips. You understand what I mean? You will not quench it. I just paused as I started speaking. Less than 5 minutes after, at around that toll gate area, I was in a fast lane. One of these huge trucks that those outside guys drive was in the slow lane. As I was about to overtake him, he just swapped. And there was a ravine. You know what the ravine is? You know what the ravine is? You don't know what the ravine is. So this is a ravine of ravine. A gully. A ditch. That better. Okay, so like a gully, like a ditch on this side. It's corrugated iron. So if I move, I'll just land inside. That's the end of the end. Yeah, there's no. So there was nowhere to go. As in, I can't turn this way. And it was just moving close. Everybody went quiet. You know, when you are too scared to even, you can't even, there's no time to say, G, the G will not form. And as suddenly as it started, the guy just veered off back. Meanwhile, with our record initial, people on the road shouted. They thought, it's over. As in, people on both sides, you know, Nigerians, he's literally screaming. They saw what was happening. The guy just veered back and began to slow down. And with them, and I couldn't press. When something like that wants to happen, the worst thing you can do is slam the brakes. The car can flip. Yeah. So the truck slowed down. And very strange for somebody from that other side. He was raising that and this and begging. Yeah, I was like, wait, angels of God have already saved us. Thank God. So the passengers knew now why I stopped talking to them, started speaking in tongues. It was that deliverance that took just a few seconds. Hallelujah. How can you think tongues is a joke? It can be a joke. It can sometimes be the difference between life and death for a believer. It can be. It can be. It can be. In my name, whatever is available in his name can be spoken out through that utterance called tongues. The next job, the next assignment, next appointment, where to go, whether you should relocate or not, is in the utterance. Okay, let me share something else with you. I think I'm enough for sharing tonight. Service here was around the corner. So everybody was praying. Some were pulling strings to change, you know, just change it. And then put me in. Nobody wanted to go. Because I'd spent all my life in Ibadan. So primary school Ibadan, secondary school Ibadan, university Ibadan. Sometimes when they just see that track record, they say, where can we throw this guy? So he can be a full Nigerian. But I just met my wife. So my own plan was like, no, finish this work. Don't go anywhere. Somebody's like, there are wolves around. So finish this work, don't go anywhere. We were not in a relationship yet, we were just friends, but I had plenty intention. But I was a good brother. Yes, I was a very good brother. I was counseling. The Lord is good. And his mercy, thank you, God bless you. Thank you, thank you. So I didn't plan to go. I was like, best thing to do to stay around. And I began to pray about service. So I want to say, I'll be posted to, and I want to mention Lagos or Ibadan. My tongue will just twist. First time, second time. If you have sense, you know. And they say, that means I won't be here. And service here came out. Guess where they sent me? Maiduguri. Yes. When I was on the road, when we reached the 15th hour, in my heart, I disconnected from my family. We're on the road. By the 15th hour of traveling, I just said, bye-bye. Because you can't go. You see, those days, you cannot go. It's not, you cannot go and vex and say you want to come home. It's not by vexing, you plan it. You first save money. For young shall grow boss. You cannot say, I'm even going. You cannot just be going. Because even the time it took for you to get there, you tell yourself that this thing, if it's not important, you cannot come back home. It took 20 hours to get there. Eventually, yeah, it's far. It's on the border of Chad. The research institute that intended to serve was even on the border of Chad. You know. But you know, it was because that was the will of God for that service here. It was because I now obeyed that will that the relationship now worked out. But what's my plan? If I stay, maybe there will have plenty of fight if I stayed. But some other things came up within service here that was part of God's plan. I came under a ministry, I received some training and some other things like that. Some other things just worked out peacefully because I prayed out. He that speaks in tongues speaks no longer but unto God. For no man understands it, but in the spirit speaks what? Mysteries. So I say this to believers. If you want to stay in God's will, except you already have your own will, if there are things you are planning to do, do you know? It may not be God's will. Don't pray in tongues about it. If you do, surely, the will of God shall be done. You know, if you already sense in your heart that the relationship you are in is not the will of God, don't do tongues. Somebody says, why? In breaking, you shall break. I assure you, you will break up mysteriously. You will break up mysteriously. Because tongues is the will of God. Hallelujah. Because you are speaking to God and not to men. That's what you're doing. So it's a language that means so much to us that we cannot relegate it to the background. Every day you speak, tell yourself, I'm speaking as a son. I'm speaking as one who is justified. I'm speaking as one who is redeemed. This language tells me God has mercy on me. This is why he tells me that I'm highly favored of God. That's what tongues means to me. Why? It will help you to keenly listen in to what the Spirit is saying to you, even as you speak, with that assurance in mind. Now, quickly before we round up, 1 Corinthians 14 again. Are you there? So, where were we now? We're in verse 5, isn't it? Verse 5. For I would that you all speak not, but rather you all prophesy for greater. So, the word greater is not a reference to the person. It's a reference to the person's activity. The one who chooses to do tongues, like everybody does tongues, but goes one step above everybody doing tongues by having interpretation, is doing the greater service. What is the greater? He is edifying the saints. So to edify the saints is the greater thing he's doing, which is his following love, or is following the activity of love. Now look at verse 6. The word greater in verse 5 is replaced with another one in verse 6. It's called prophet. It says, now brethren, if I come to you speak with us, what shall I what? Profit you. So the word greater, the word prophets, are defined to the same activity. If I come to you speaking with tongues, how shall I profit? Since tongues will only make sense with respect to man if there's profiting to be experienced through it. What does it mean by prophesying? I will come to you speaking either by what? Revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. What do those four things represent? They represent edification for the saints. So, profit now is a greater, that's in verse 5, which is the love, that is in verse 1. Hallelujah. Are you following? So, the word profit there is a greater that the individual in verse 5 is doing, which is the following after love that the person in verse 1 is doing. So, if you jump with me all the way to verse 26 now, next week, which is next month, we'll start looking a bit more. And it says, how is it, brethren, when you come together and every one of you, which everyone, the everyone that he spoke about in verse 5, I would that all of you spoke with tongues. But I want you to do it with one thing in mind, that there's a greater to be done after you do tongues. What's the greater? You are to prophesy or you are to interpret the tongues so that the saints can be edified. So it says, when you come together now, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all the things that you are ministering be for one purpose. What's that purpose? Edification or for edifying. Look at next verse. If any man speak in tongues, let it be by two or at most by three. Do you notice the word let it be is italicized? We'll be getting more into this chapter because there are some things there, the way it's written, may sound confusing to you. Notice, if any man speak in tongues by two or by three, he's not talking about three people. He's saying if a man is speaking and he gives the first utterance, the second utterance, the third utterance, and he does it one after the other, let him interpret. The word one there is still talking about that one man. Look at next verse. See what it says. But if there be no interpreter, again, this is a bit confusing. Here's the way it looks. Somebody comes to speak, and there's nobody to interpret what he has said. That's the way it sounds. But what is he saying? If a man comes to speak, he gives the first utterance, he gives the second utterance, he's doing one by one. Let him start with at least an interpretation after speaking at least three times. He now says, if there be no interpreter, actually, if he doesn't give interpretation, let him what? Keep silence in the church. He didn't say let him keep silent. What does it mean to keep silent in the church? It doesn't mean sit down in the church. Where is he speaking from? Verse 26. When you come together, everyone you has. What do you do with what you have? You are to ensure you do these things towards edifying. What does it mean to edify? It means by prophecy, you minister to the saints. So what does it mean to keep silence in the church? It means Now you spoke the first one, you spoke the second, you spoke the third, you didn't interpret any, and you are saying you don't have interpretation. Sit down and stop addressing the saints, but keep speaking tongues. Let me say it again. Hallelujah. Now, listen carefully. You can keep speaking tongues, but with respect to the saints, stop addressing the saints. Why? You are not edifying the saints. Why? You are doing tongues alone without interpretation. So you are not edifying. Who is getting edified? You. We are not benefiting from it. So you are to sit down in the and keep silence where in the church. That doesn't mean sit down, say nothing. Continue doing tongues. You speak to yourself and to God. To yourself and to God. What does that mean? You are keeping silent in the church. What does it mean to keep silent in the church? It means at the point in time, you are not addressing anybody in the congregation. You are keeping silent in the church. That doesn't mean you are not speaking. It simply means you are not addressing anyone. How many of you understand? So, to keep silence in the church with respect to ministering simply means you may be speaking, but you are not addressing any one of us. Because why are you speaking? When you spoke the first, you spoke the second, and you did not have the understanding of 1 Corinthians 14:5 that says, I want all of you to speak with tongues, but rather you prophesied, for greater is he that one prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret. Okay? For if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I come to you either by what? So, it says, if you don't have that understanding that you that spoke the tongues should have the interpretation, then you sit down with respect to the saints. Don't address them. You speak to yourself and to God. Why? Well, verse 3 says, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. So, if you stop speaking to us, you speak to yourself and to God, what will happen? You will now edify yourself. And we trust that when you are now edified yourself, you'll be in a position to now speak to us. Hallelujah. Do you understand as well? Good. So, the issue is this. To keep silence in the church doesn't mean shut up. It means stop addressing the church. Because you are not edifying us. You are not giving us profit. So, speaking in tongues for you, is it like me? Yes, if I come to you speaking. So, when you came to us, we sat down expecting profiting. You didn't bring the prophet because you didn't interpret. If there be no interpreter, or if there's no interpretation, or if you did not give the interpretation, then keep silent in the church. What should you do? It means speak to yourself and to God, which is edify yourself. Well, why are you edifying? So that you can get to the place where you can minister to us. Look at the next verse. You would think they're talking about different people. Let the prophet speak, two or three. So you think he has left that first man he's talking about. He's talking about somebody else now. Because who is he addressing? The church. That says, let the prophet speak two or three. The same principle of the first one, which is speak two or three, and that by cause. But two by three now. Who is the prophet here? Look at verse 37. Verse 37. Look at the prophet. If any man think himself to be what? A prophet or spiritual, let him what? Acknowledge. And the things that are right to you, they are what? Commandments, not suggestions. So, who is a spiritual man? The one who has to acknowledge means to deeply comprehend truth. To embrace a reality that has been taught. He is called spiritual. He is now referred to as prophet. When you read the word prophet there, the word prophet only means what it means in the context of that chapter. It doesn't mean somebody who is in the prophetic office. No. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So tonight, anybody here can be that prophet. Who is that prophet? He that is spiritual. Who is spiritual? He that acknowledges that these instructions are the commandments of the Lord. So what is he acknowledging? If I do tongues, I can follow with interpretation. I will not say there's no interpretation. I will just follow. I will not say, Sada, it's only tongues I have. See, you help me interpret. Yeah, just help me. Yeah, just help me. Because like, it's only tongues that the Spirit gave me tonight. He must give you interpretation. No, if he give you tongues, he give you what? Interpretation. Now, somebody, but Pastor, what about those who do tongues and interpretation and they are a team? That is ministry. It's not teaching ministry here. There's a ministry like that. Couples or people who work together by teams. And one does tongue, one does interpretation. That's different. That's a ministry. Yes, talking to members of a local assembly. So, he says, if any among seem to be a prophet or spiritual. So, the person is calling a prophet is one who is what spiritual. Somebody who has acknowledged the realities that Paul has taught. Let him acknowledge or affirm or confirm that these are the commandments of the Lord. They are not suggestions. They are commandments. Glory to God. So let the prophet speak. So who is called a prophet now? The one who moved from tongues to interpretation and prophesied. He's a prophet. He's also called what? Spiritual. Glory to God. Can you see that so far tonight? Can we see that so far tonight? Okay, so I don't want to go too far in that. I just want to just touch on that so that when we start exploring it, you start seeing it, so that you will let us know shortly whether you're a prophet. Hallelujah. Whether you're spiritual. See, I'm spiritual. See, I'm spiritual. Because that word was used with men said that the ones who give themselves to utterance, who follow through to edify the saints, since they are called spiritual, or in that sense, they are God's mouthpiece, or they are prophets. He's not talking about prophet as you find in the ministry office in Ephesians 4:11. No. People in the local assembly who have taken edification as a goal of utterance, they are called spiritual, or they are called prophets. Why? They minister to the saints' word, edification. Glory to God. I hope you got something tonight. All right, so I was inspired to share those testimonies with us. The Spirit of God inspired me because it was not part of my preparation at all. So that means one or two of us need to hear some things along that line so that we can see the efficacy of what it means to carry this substance within us as sons and not to use it. Avenues of God's wisdom, direction, favor, all those things that open us to us when we give ourselves to speaking in tongues. Glory to God. All right, we'll stop here tonight.